level. 2.9% is pretty piddly. Is that reason for optimism? You think this is going to be able to be sustained? Does this help ensure a federal rate hike in December? Does this keep a stock bubble inflated for just a little bit longer? Does this affect the election? Also coming up, what happens when you're forced into retirement by your age? You know, it used to be 70, used to be the end of your career. Now, there's nothing wrong about being 70. That doesn't mean you can't work until you're 90. I mean, we have senators who are still writing laws in their 90s. Why not a judge? Why not you? But what happens when you're forced into retirement? That can get pretty tough. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. 504-260-0995. You can send us a text message via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to talk with Jude Heath, CPA of the Total Wealth Authority, about tax audit tips for entertainment and vehicle deductions. I want to start off with something I saw in the news, and we have a new largest charity in the United States. The United Way has been ranked as America's largest charity for all but one of the past 25 years. We're big fans of charity here, Gregory Ricks Associates and Winning at Life. In fact, we raised money for our Cancer Crusaders at our last Gregory Ricks Live event. At our Halloween party on Thursday, we raised money for the Second Harvest Food Bank. Isn't that what it was, Gregory?
Second Harvest.
And every time we have an event, basically, we've just sort of assumed that there's going to be some charitable proceeds that are had, and it's just part of our routine now. But America's largest charity is no longer the United Way. The largest one now, with $4.6 billion in private donations in 2015, is Fidelity, Gregory.
Fidelity?
Our custodian for Gregory Ricks and Associates, a big custodian across the financial sector, the Boston-based company, has a philanthropic arm that has been consistently accelerating their give-outs and their gifts, and they just passed the United Way to become the largest charity. Now, the conglomerate's label for this segment is Fidelity Charitable, but it's just an arm of the same company. So that's your custodian. You're quite familiar with Fidelity. What do you think of that news?
Yeah, I'm surprised by that altogether, that they're the biggest now. So what is United Way? Are they still second? Or
yes, United Way has just slipped to second. The other top ones, you'll recognize all these names, though. The only one that really kind of sounds out of place to me was Fidelity. But then once you hear that, you say, okay, well, there's Feeding America, which was also in the top five. Another donor-advised fund, the Schwab Charitable Fund, was up there at fourth place. Catholic Charities was ranked fifth, Salvation Army sixth.
Wonder where the Bill Gates Foundation stands, because they put a lot of money into that, but I think they give out a lot.
Yeah, and there must be something with the way these things are ranked, because I guess if it's an intra-charity donation, it doesn't quite count. Warren Buffett giving a donation to another charity, that's not really handing out charity. But yeah, there may be some methodology in there that's kind of skewing that. You would figure they'd be up there. But number one, Fidelity. What's it like working with those guys? Are they just the most solid foundation? I mean, you call them, things get done. I don't hear any complaints about Fidelity. I don't hear about any mistakes coming out of Fidelity. They seem to be pretty solid.
Only occasionally might get backed up a little bit on processing. But otherwise, they just do stuff right. It gets done correctly, and if they catch something, they correct it really quick.
Yeah, and as far as custodians go, I imagine it's a lot like referees. They're doing a good job if and only if you really never talk about them. If they're not the story, then they probably did a good job. If we're not telling a lot of stories about our custodian, that means they're just doing their job behind the scenes and keeping it moving.
Yeah, it's such a from our standpoint, them as a custodian for us, it's such a highly regulated business, and errors just really aren't acceptable. Errors can get expensive, so you need it done right.
Well, they're not just handling a bunch of money. They're doing the right thing with it. And what do they call it? Corporate, not ethics, corporate community something or other. There was a name for it. Social responsibility, something like that.
Well, I think we all have that in some way. With success, is part of it is giving back and making that difference. And if you have exposure, just like we create large events, just like the Spirits and Spirits the other night, our Halloween annual Halloween and bingo event, and we raised some money, and I don't even know what that number is. I've not had a chance to talk to see what we even raised the other night, but once again, we had an event and we raised some money.
What they're saying is one of the reasons Fidelity has been able to step up their charitable giving as of lately is they incorporated into some of their online tools a couple of check boxes, just a couple of little clicks here. Hey, you want to donate $5? You want to donate $10? You want to donate a percentage of your proceeds to Fidelity Charitable? Which I'm just a skeptical guy. I'd be like, I don't know. Maybe I want to direct that toward a charity of my choosing. But enough people said, well, I'm sure they'll do the right thing with it. And they turn around and they were rewarded. They weren't just taking this money and keeping it. They actually turn around and giving it out. But they have incorporated it into some of their online processes.
That's a good way to go about it. Since you were kind of mentioning that people seem to like their choices, I feel the same way about it. I've never had pushback. And we prefer to use local charities where the money stays in the area here, and I just don't recall ever getting any pushbacks and we don't like them. I might say that in our decision making, you know, when we talk about it, and we kind of talk about it as a few of us put our heads together to make sure it's the charity's the right fit, and we have a lot of them, and I guess it wouldn't surprise you, but we have a lot of them reach out to us now as well. And you know, we don't have the ability to donate to everybody, but we have that criteria of the core thing is keeping it local and is it going to make a difference?
Yeah, so they do this, and I mentioned Schwab. The Schwab Charitable Fund was, what were they ranked, fourth? Yeah, fourth. And they had it incorporated into some of their online processes. Some of these other financial firms are doing it too. And it's expected to, by next year, these donor advised funds will account for 10% of all giving from individual Americans.
That's gathering up a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, also thinking about it like this, 10, 15 years ago, zero charitable contributions were coming out of online processes from your financial institutions.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So we just found a new way to be charitable. But hey, it's tied with us, Fidelity. Whenever I see that name in the news, I got to go ahead and read the article. And this was nothing but positive. So next time you're on the phone with them, thank them.
10 years ago, how much money was made online?
Oh, had to be
just
piddly.
From a business standpoint, money that was made.
5% maybe.
Yeah, or less.
Yeah.
But like Facebook, when they became public a few years back, one of their struggles was generating revenue. And they even when they had went public, they had not quite got it right.
No.
But stock price put them to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured it out pretty quickly, made those adjustments.
Ooh, and it works, and it works. The hot redhead is doing some social media work for a candidate for Kenner Mayor. And I was explaining to her, dude, she has the Facebook page. Just take $20. Watch, boost this post. $20, you can target it toward, no, I don't want it to be in the region. I want it to be people who live just in Kenner, because that's the only people that can vote in the mayor election. You don't want anyone from Metairie seeing this. You don't want anyone from New Orleans. You don't want anyone from LaPlace. You want it to be hyper-focused just on this little region. And I was telling her, if you want to break it down even further, you can just put in a zip code or two and have it only go to those people hyper-targeting. And so she was telling me the results last night. She's like, yeah, we only spent $20. And we've already gotten X amount of views compared to what we normally get. And all of those extra views that you paid for are in that tiny little municipality. I mean, so the ability to hyper-focus those ad dollars makes it pretty attractive.
Yeah, I don't know the stats. I just know social media goes a long way for us. When I spoke at that conference and then when I was at this conference the other day, I was getting a lot of questions about that. And it is a tremendous reach it, you know. I think people go in, for example, on Facebook, probably check it more than they do their newspaper or their news. You know, people spend time on that more so than ever. Heck, they probably get some of their news or wild stories from social media.
All right. So, charitable interests are always part of our events. Our next live event, the Gregory Ricks Live, coming up is Tuesday, November 15th. And another charity that we work with quite a bit with Gregory Ricks and Associates, Feeding America. Now, we work with their local affiliate, the Second Harvest Food Bank, but they're the principal nationwide support system for food banks, for regional food banks. And that's where the money for our Halloween party went, right? The Feeding America. So, yeah, they were third, California-based, Schwab fourth, Catholic Charities fifth, Salvation Army sixth. That's incredible because I bet you if you looked at this 100 years ago, all the top five would probably be religious in nature. You only have two of the top six that are religious charities, Catholic Charities and Salvation Army. Interesting stuff. We had talked a little bit just yesterday about how you shouldn't mix politics at the office. Here's a cautionary tale. Have you seen all the Yinglings around, the Yingling beer? I know, Angie, you're a Yingling fan. Hot Redhead's all of a sudden a Yingling fan. It's the oldest brewery in America. They had been regional for a long time. They just went national, and it's everywhere. And their sales are going through the roof, and they're huge, but they may have just shot themselves in the foot because the brewery's fifth-generation CEO, his great-great-great-grandfather started it, Rick Yingling, just endorsed Donald Trump for president. Started a boycott. Why would you do that to your own business? I don't care what you think politically. Well, shouldn't you just keep your mouth shut, Gregory? That's bad for business.
Yeah, donate some money to them, but I wouldn't want to run off some beer drinkers.
Let's talk about this in 3 minutes. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
You're listening to Winning It Live. This is the weekly wrap. We're live here every Saturday from 10 to 1. If you have a financial situation you're looking for a little help with or an answer to that question, maybe it's mutual funds, annuities, estate planning, that IRA rollover. How about that call last night about the gentleman under age 30? IRA at the old job, no 401k, money still left at the old job, but doesn't have a 401k at his new job. And he was, what do I do? And I want to save more. The phone number is 504-260-0995. Email me, Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. The website is GregoryRicks.com. And use the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You can just message us through there, and we'll get your question.
All right, so today, or this week, the son of a billionaire, Eric Trump, went to America's oldest brewery, the Yingling & Son family-owned and operated brewery in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. It's been open since 1829. Open and continuously operated in the same hands in the same family since 1829.
Where are they based out of?
Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
It's probably the only thing going on in Pottsville these days. But the guy that was giving the son of a billionaire, Eric Trump, the tour of the facility is himself the son of a billionaire in his own right. He is Dick Yingling Jr. And he made an endorsement of Eric's dad, Donald Trump, for president. Of course, there's going to be quite a few people who are not too happy with that. You know, just ask Target, ask Chick-fil-A, ask any of these other people that get boycotted for political reasons. Why would you do this to your own business? Why would you even set yourself up and put a big target on your back by saying anything about politics when you're the CEO of a company like this?
You think you're immune and people want to hear your opinion on one of those two subjects? You know, that's affected Chick-fil-A as not just political, but religious in the past as well. I'm not one for necessarily taking that side. You might could tell where I might lean as far as that, but to go out and make endorsements and create a situation where you're not able to help, or you kind of tick off half your customers, so to speak, and we don't want to do that. I look at everybody's money's green, and we have the ability to help everybody, but also I don't want an attitude towards me. Well, he's this way. I don't like his stance. And maybe there is a couple of people that don't like my stance, but for the most part, they know that we're a very balanced firm. And I just, owner of Yingling or a rock band or girl country band taking stand, and we've seen that in the past, and the customers will affect you.
See, I don't even think about saying my politics in a business setting, partially because I'm supporting the guy that only 5% of the country supports. So I know I'm going to be ticking off 95% of the country. So there's just a little hubris there where you think people care. You make beer. As important as we consider beer to be, no one is basing their vote on a brewer's opinion. Or there should be. Shouldn't be. It's not wrong.
Yeah, from my standpoint, the questions we are asked about it is, you know, how is that going to affect our money? What do you think's going to happen? And that's the kind of slant that we take. And I'm not going to move into that arena unless the client asks me. And then I kind of give them both sides view.
It really seems like bad business. I mean, they even teach you this in school. Just keep your business, keep your personal positions out of it. If you're a national company, don't even tell people which football team you like. Because if I go around telling people I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm going to lose some business probably in New Orleans, probably in New York and in Philadelphia and in D.C. as well. You know, there's a lot of, why would you want to tick anyone off? Anyway, so it's, politics becomes as the hot and most hot and heavy topic in America for the next 10 days, 11 days, then we'll be done with this. It's just weird to see it.
We hope.
Yeah, right.
We're done with it.
Yeah, we were here for 2002, weren't we? Thomas in New Orleans, you're first up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Well, I need to ask you a question, please. I don't have a 401k, and I'm 74 years old. Thinking about going back to work, and the company that I'm planning on going back to work with, they do have a 401k. But just, I heard you could put $25,000 or $24,000 a year into a 401k. Would that be advisable? I can do that. I can put that in there for several years if I have to.
So
go to work.
The income you're making still goes pretty good if you're putting that much away. So you're putting the contribution plus the catch up in. 74. Yeah. That's a different kind of question. We've not really gotten that before. It's the people a little bit younger than you are. You know, the big question is, can I put money in? And you can do so in an employer plan, and you don't have to pay RMDs, because one of the things is you're over 70 and a half, but through a 401k, you can save money pre-tax for the future. It's just when you leave that firm, you'll have to start taking distributions from that account, which are required minimum distributions, the year of separation from the firm.
So I can put the $24,000 maximum in, right?
Yes.
And one more thing, can my wife inherit it if I pass?
Absolutely. She should be the primary beneficiary of the account when you do the setup paperwork.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's what I needed to know because, you know, like I say, I don't have a 401k. I just got Social Security, and she has a retirement. But I guess I just want to catch up because all the companies I work for, they didn't take that out. You know what I mean? They didn't have no pensions and 401. A lot of times they pay cash. So, you know what I mean? It's
yeah, sounds like you work in the service industry.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway, you answered my question, and I sure thank you very much.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Thomas. See, that's exactly what we were talking about yesterday, and we're going to talk about later on the show, being forced into retirement because you're old, or really ageism in the workplace and people having to go back to work in their 70s and sometimes in their 80s. You know, that was unthinkable 100 years ago. If you made it to 70, people would kind of dance around you. Whoa, you okay? You're going to be all right? But now it's normal. You know, my father-in-law is 70, and I don't even, he still works full-time for himself, runs his own business.
You know, and talking about our caller just then, and sounds like he's always kind of worked in the service industry, you know, whether it's waiters, bartenders, bellmen, you know, just all service related. And we have a lot of that in the New Orleans area, but I think tourism and service is pretty big everywhere, from all the restaurants going out to eat. And traditionally, have those people had 401ks?
Oh, God, no.
And now that I think about that, to where we're more service-oriented and less factory-oriented, then we've got a lot of people working, making good money, but they're really not putting that money away for the future. I wonder how that's going to affect us down the road.
Angie?
Just to give you an idea how 70 is not old anymore, there was a video on YouTube with Tina Turner and Beyonce, and they're doing the big, what is it, Big Wheels Keep on Turning?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Rolling on the River.
Rolling on the River. She's 76, and Beyonce was trying to keep up with her.
Wow. A lot of musicians are doing well in the over 60 now. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we were on the show last week. You went through this list of ages of entertainers and such that are still going, and does this make you feel old?
Yeah, because what's Keith Richards now, 104? Doesn't look a day over 103 either. Matthew and Metairie, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Matthew?
I think Keith Richards 120.
Thank you.
And he looks every bit of it. How come it is this business of not endorsing doesn't seem to work when it comes to entertainers? I get to hear all about how DiCaprio feels about man-made global warming. Get to hear how Tom Hanks thinks I'm deplorable. And it never seems to affect them. But Lil Yingling, the CEO of the company, spouts off about endorsing Donald Trump, and he must be destroyed. I'm just curious.
Well, there's exceptions that go both ways. Why don't you go ask the Dixie Chicks how that worked out for them? And you can tell the majority of Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio's circle of friends and the people he's trying to appeal to, not necessarily the public, but other movie producers and directors and writers and things like that, they're all on the same page, so it's not going to hurt him at all. But, you know, there's a big difference between an individual and a guy representing a business. What business does Leo represent?
The business of Leo.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, the business of Leo means that basically, since he's been spouting off about how much he hates my product, I'll just go ahead and spend any money watching.
It may not look like it, but it does hurt him. Ask the NFL how untouchable people can be, because they're doing things that are politically on the same page as Leonardo DiCaprio, but they're hurting for it. So this isn't a one side of the aisle gets it worse than the other. It's both sides of the aisle get kicked in the teeth.
One thing that disconnects them a little bit, and that could turn you off, because, look, I do cast a vote on if I don't like an opinion or they go too extreme, and there's something where he could push that envelope and hurt him, and it could show up at the box office. But when I go sit down and watch a movie, am I getting a personal take of something that I don't agree with? Well, then I'm not going to watch that flick if there is, but that's what's not happening there. It'd be more like Bruce Springsteen or Dixie Chicks getting on a stage, and I've paid to hear them sing, but they want to have a couple of conversations during the concert about their political or maybe religious views. I tell you what, I'd be upset about that, want my money back, and wouldn't go again. Because that's not what I showed up for. So I think it protects them in movies to an extent.
Yeah, and in the business world, there's an axiom. When in doubt, keep your mouth shut. 504-260-0995 if you want to be next. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to Winning at Life. This is the weekly wrap. If you're looking for your financial fix for a better tomorrow, give us a call. We're live, 504-260-0995. Message us from the Gregory Ricks and Associates app or email me, gregory@gregoryricks.com. And always, thank you for listening. Every call's a great call. Once again, 504-260-0995.
All right. To expand on what we were talking about yesterday, and it's kind of nice that we had that 74-year-old caller in the last segment. When you're forced to retire because you're old, look, the obvious happens. It ruins your retirement plan. You were expecting this amount of money to come in over the next few years, and you were going to save this amount, and this would go here, this would cover your expenses, and boom, that's all blown up. Got to go back to the drawing board. What's your plan B? But one of the things that caught my eye here that I didn't expect was that these declines that you have as you age between, what was the age here? Following retirement for the first 6 years, the average person loses 15 to 16% of their mobility. A 15 to 16% increase in mobility issues is the way it's worded. A 5 to 6% increase in illness and a 6 to 9% decrease in mental health following the first 6 years of retirement. But if the retirement was pushed on the employee, then those numbers get worse. There are actual physical negative consequences to being forced in retirement. You get sick more often, you have more of a cognitive decline, and you have more mobility issues if you're forced into retirement rather than chose it for yourself.
It's a lot of stress, I think, to begin with, because of the uncertainty of that, not knowing necessarily where they are, but probably expecting to need a few more years to make sure they get into position, and probably more so for those that started later, moved up into the really nice income to where they could put some away. Because you think about it, where's your larger income? Back end of your career, for the most part. You raise children, put them through school, college, get them married off, and where does that leave you? It leaves you still on the back end of the career where you're starting to really make some money and maybe getting to, like our caller mentioned the other day, and he's really on the back end of his career to start maxing out a 401k at this point. When you think about it, if you're cut loose 4 years early and with matching and the max contribution of $24,000, so we just round it to 25. So if they're getting $25,000 a year in, 4 years is $100K. And if it's left alone and doubles, say in 12 years, then you've got an account that goes from the 240 then you're probably able to generate maybe $15,000 a year, for example, in revenue from it. That's a big impact for money down the road.
So there's laws on the books that were written so long ago, they made sense then, but they don't now. One of them is going to be voted on here in about a week and a half in Pennsylvania. They force their judges to retire at age 70. You got to hang up the gavel, no matter what.
That sounds, age 70.
Age 70. Does that sound ridiculous right now?
It does nowadays.
I don't know how old this law is, but maybe 100 years ago that made sense. They, you know what they want to push it back to? 75. That law is already obsolete.
And used to, you could judge by age. You know, when, how long ago was that law put in place? 30 years? 40 years? Things have changed so much since then. Longevity is a fact of life, is we should expect to live longer. And one of the things is the gifts we've been given is 30 more years. So you kind of expect to have to go into your 90s. So before, when somebody had to retire, say, at 70, 30 years ago, what was their life expectancy? 75, 76. What, now they've got another 20, 25 years. And can you really judge their capability by age now, saying, well, you know, it's easy, 70. You're not living that many years more, where today it is. So how should we go about making those decisions? And there probably should be some mental and physical capability tests to make a better judgment. But I'd have to move those ages up to age 80, kind of, well, you need to retire. And the same thing, I think, for pilots are probably going to change a little bit, but they would need physical and mental tests as well.
Oh, yeah. We had talked about that yesterday. Pilots have to step away from their job at 65. The FAA requires commercial pilots to retire at 65 and air traffic controllers at 56. If you're a federal policeman or firefighter, you have to retire by age 57, even if you don't have your full amount of years in. Firefighters, maybe I can kind of understand. I don't know if I want a 60-year-old guy trying to pull my big 230-pound butt out of a third-story fire.
Yeah, so that goes into the physical part of performing that. And look, I know a number of pilots and that have forced retirement. And the ones that I know is like, really? You had to quit flying?
Now, is it for pilots, there may be a little bit of a different standard, because maybe your cognitive decline hasn't really affected your ability to fly. But once you get past a certain age, you're liable to just stroke over or have a heart attack on the job. Do they think you could just fall over and have a medical emergency while in the cockpit? Because functionally, your brain should be fine at 65. Most of them are.
It's not unheard of people having a heart attack at 50 or 55. It's typically why you have two pilots in the cockpit of commercial or even the smaller, for a safety thing. It's two pilots. Regardless, it could just be with getting ill as well. But I think it shifts to more of physical, mental tests. Can they keep up with the stress or the focus? How about those in the control towers?
Well, the cutoff age now is 56. That's ridiculous.
I think so, too.
It should be an app by now. We should have the little blue dots, and a pilot should be able to look at his phone. You got Runway 2. Some computer's going to do it. They do it cheaper
and
faster.
What about the communication part of it? You know computers are doing a great deal of that, but you still have to have communication.
Oh, and that's not just a guess.
Airplane monitors.
All right.
The people.
Yeah. You crashed. I'm here to tell you, when you crashed, you crashed.
Well, you saw a... Now, can those pilots probably move over to, say, the cargo sector, FedEx, UPS, such as that, fly for them?
No, it still counts as commercial.
It does.
Yeah, if you're employed as a pilot, if you want to fly you and your family around on a private...
Well, China,
plane,
remember
fine.
We talked about recently, China, how... A ridiculous number of pilots that they're going to need. Maybe they just go over there, fly a few more years.
China's biggest airline, their planes aren't allowed to land in Europe anymore because their planes are too shoddy. Did you see this?
That's why they're doing some big, giant orders.
They kept failing inspections.
But I saw on the news, I guess it was last night, earliest morning, a FedEx plane had went down. The landing gear collapsed under it on landing. Created a little bit of a mess. Maybe banged up a few packages.
Why aren't we doing this with drones? We could have self-flying planes. You know, do we even need a pilot? Maybe for an emergency. And you were nailing it earlier. If you ever talk to a pilot, like, not in the public sphere, just sitting next to him at a bar, say, what's the co-pilot do? I am just there in case this guy dies. if they're not in around sensitive ears, they'll tell you the truth. That's the only reason there's two pilots in a plane. The co-pilot does nothing, or he's not needed for anything. He's just there in case the guy has a stroke.
Well, they all fly on autopilot now. It's not, they get into a jetliner and there's not an autopilot on there. It's more they're monitoring the situation, and situations they'll take over. They probably actually do the landings and stuff. I don't know into that detail, and maybe not so much.
Yeah, I hear they do anymore. The takeoffs and the landings. The rest of it's cruise control, you know, and they'll get them a little alert, and it'll tell you, hey, we got some weather coming up. Should we reroute? And you just approve it. You don't even do the rerouting. You just approve what the computer's already done. Fantastic stuff. So there's, if you are physically aged out of your job, I can understand why that happens. You can't be on some sort of harness dangling over a ship hull, doing some tack welding in Avondale when you're, you know, 80 years old. But you can transition out of that in this new economy and find something that's more cerebral-based.
And I've had conversations with clients also that understand, because of the physical nature of their work, and some of this is, you know, even refinery-related, is they know, and they've told me, it says, physically, I won't be able to keep doing this to well in my 60s and such, just knowing the physical aspects. So they're even seeing that themselves, that, hey, I'm going to need to have a transition.
See, this is why it isn't so bad to get out of these industrial manufacturing economies and be the next level up, be the information age, sort of the service guy economy, because a 70-year-old could possibly maintain the machines that'll make the stuff or sew together jeans or snap together a SpongeBob toy. But being the guy actually on the assembly line, probably not as adaptable to a 70-year-old. See how that works? Isn't that nice? Kind of dovetailing with some of our other conversations. All right, if you have a financial situation you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995, or you can send us a message via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Coming up next, Q3 GDP is at 2.9%. What does that mean for your money going forward? I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Right, welcome back. Winning It Life, the weekly wrap. Daily show we call the Daily Wrap. We do that Monday through Friday. Same right here. You can always listen to us on iHeartRadio. You should have the iHeartRadio. You know, we did the show last night, had a Bonko game afterwards. Second time I've really played it. Not very good at it, but hey, a lot of fun. But that's what we put on. We even had some intercom people there. Yeah.
Oh, and then it's, yeah, like,
what are you listening to? What's the streaming that people pay for?
Pandora.
Yeah, Pandora.
Spotify. There's,
yeah,
a lot.
Some of those others. XM. And so there's some,
okay, what, the satellite guys.
The music. There's like, the music is great. What are you listening to? And then I'd push forward songs, change the mix, and it's iHeartRadio. What?
Yeah, no one has to play DJ at the party anymore. We do that for you. The iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Did the intercom guys share the same first name with someone on the staff?
No.
That's maybe abbreviated because...
I'm not going there.
Susan and Metri, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. Since Gregory's not answering my question, maybe he'll answer yours.
Hello, good morning.
Hey, welcome there to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I am a retiree at age 65. I took my retirement. My husband waited till his full retirement age of 66. I was under the impression that I could apply for spousal benefits when I indeed reached my full age of 66 retirement. I went to the Social Security office locally and brought a copy of my marriage certificate, and I was told that, sorry, I was not eligible to apply for spousal benefits. It would have been a difference of, I believe mine was like $950, and my husband is maxed, and I think his is around $2,600. So I was under the impression, and maybe I was completely mistaken, that the difference between mine and his, half of his amount, would be my new amount of Social Security, which would have been an increase for me. Is that not correct?
And you're 62, correct?
Well, I'm 66 now.
Okay.
But But and I took it at age 62.
Okay. The 29.5% haircut that you took, or I'll define it as a reduction in benefit, carries forward. So when you're looking to switch to his, that's still a 29.5% deduction. So it didn't increase your benefits.
It did not.
It did not.
Okay.
Because
okay.
Remember, not everybody realizes this. Well, I'll take mine and I'll take it at a discount. Then I'll switch over to the half benefit then. And you're not getting an increase in your case because they're still counting the 20 or subtracting that discount back to when you started your original.
What's the rules on her being able to undo this? Isn't if she's within the first year of retirement, she can maybe go give the money back?
Undo is during the first year of pay it back and as if it never happened.
So I would have to pay 4 years back.
Yeah, but you can't do that. That's not an option. Used to be an option, but that changed a few years back.
Okay.
The payback only has to do during the first year.
I understand. All right. Well, I certainly appreciate you clearing that up for me.
Okay. Thanks for listening and calling.
Thanks, Susan. Yeah. I mean, who else
wasn't
do you call?
Not necessarily the good news there. Just kind of reaffirm what they told her. But that's one thing that we try to make that emphasis when somebody starts that, or we have that discussion about spousal benefits, and a client called in the other day about a clarification on that. And just told the advisor that was speaking with her to make sure they understand that it's a 29.5% discount to start it at 62. And their concern was, well, can we switch to the spousal? Yes, but it's going to impact that as well. And it wasn't going to make for much increase. There might have been $100 a month increase at switching over then. So they might want to reconsider the timing of that.
All right. We had the GDP report come in yesterday for the third quarter of the United States. Our total gross domestic product grew at a rate of 2.9% for the quarter. So this is by far the best number of the year. But on a historic level, 2.9% is just piddly. I mean, it's not bad. It's in the right direction. Slow and steady wins the race, but I mean, we're not even walking. We're crawling at this point. The market saw the number, didn't really go crazy, actually. It popped up just a little bit and then turned around and gave it all back when there was a press conference about someone, I forgot her name's emails. And so the news here was not exuberant. The Bulls did not go on a full run there. They kind of trotted out and then lost steam by noon. A couple weird things in this one. Soybeans are getting credit for 0.9% of that gain. So you take the whole soybean anomaly out of here. Second quarter GDP growth comes in at about 2%. And I would say that's what it felt like even.
Yeah, that it's truly about a 2. So it's not above what we had too much before. Was it 1.8, 1.9? It was upgraded to the previous quarter. And we even looked at soybeans chart. We saw how that spiked up and has now since moved back down. But, you know, tell what you did last night about this soybean situation. And this is a one-time only event. The soybean market's not going to be carrying almost.
Yeah, they had some weird meteorological anomaly in the southern hemisphere. And where most of our soybeans come from for half of the year is South America. And since they had massive crop failures, our guys up here found out about it in advance. They knew about the weather. They immediately started planting. And about the time South America's soybean crop was drying up, ours was spiking. It was amazing how we saw the gap coming. The free market moved on their own. Thousands of little farmers made their own independent decisions that this is going to spike. This price is going to spike. And I'm going to make some evil capitalist profits off of it by filling in the gap. But it is only going to be a one-time thing.
Yeah, we averted a major edamame crisis.
Yeah, right? What would we eat for appetizers at the Japanese restaurant if not for the sturdy American farmer filling in that gap? But this isn't going to happen again. And in fact, the little soybean spice already exhausted itself. It's not even happening right now. It happened over, really, it started spiking up in June, but July, August, and then September, it kind of wound down. Now for Q4, it's not going to be an issue.
Have you seen soybean fields?
Yeah. It looks like a patch. It looks like nothing's growing there. There's no bush. There's no tree. There's nothing tall. It's just vines on the ground.
Yeah, it's real interesting because it's mixed in. We see a lot of that in the sugarcane country as well, where that's kind of mixed in and growing. It's quite different. You don't think of it. It doesn't look like, the stalks were peeing. peas will grow butter bean, corn, you know, or the sugar cane grows tall as well, but it's just kind of a low-level plant.
Yeah, it's totally flat. And what you miss by growing up in South Louisiana or the Biloxi area, we're all surrounded by swamps here. But one of the cool things is if you're from a little more inland, probably our listeners up in the Macomb area can attest to this. If you go to golf courses in the middle of the country, you're almost guaranteed to have crops all around you. And there's a couple of golf courses where I grew up. There were soybeans all on one side. So I got to see the whole process for a couple of years there when my dad was playing. Another thing that people are looking at this GDP number and starting to turn around and look forward at, does this help ensure a Federal Reserve rate hike in December? I think it does.
I do too. Absolutely. This is something they're looking for.
I hope they do it this time. They have all the excuses in the world to do it. They still have a few to not do it. I'm going to be very disappointed if they don't. Does this delay also, just because so much of this is not market-based but mind-based, does this keep this stock market bubble inflated just for a little bit longer? And I guess the question I'm really asking, does this delay the inevitable market correction?
It could help lead to it because this will lead to a rate hike. Rate hike probably is going to affect the market. And it just might be on top of other things, depending on who wins the election. Is there a black swan effect out there? Does Deutsche Bank survive? Does China's banking system keep going despite the ghost cities and people quit making payments on empty condos and such? So there's a lot going on. This just adds to that mix.
And one other piece of GDP news that I thought was absolutely fascinating is when you look over at the UK, they just published their number this week for their third quarter GDP growth.
Oh, the Brexit bunch?
Yeah, so the Brexit actually happened at the end of June, so it is on the fresh cusp of the last quarter. So when you look at third quarter GDP, you are looking directly at the immediate reaction to Brexit. Forecasts at the beginning of the quarter were all negative. They kept adjusting them up. And the consensus before the report came out is like, okay, we expect our economy to grow by 0.2%. Beat that, it grew by 0.5% post-Brexit.
That's all positive because everybody was giving them doom and gloom. And even President Obama said, well, you know, in trade negotiations, you're kind of back of the bus type phrase. I don't remember how
he said back of the line.
Back of the line, back of the bus, whatever. You're in the back.
Sure.
There. And you know, we don't like lines, especially long ones that tell us, oh, you're going to be at the end, you got to stay a part of it. Well, it's still going to be interesting because we could see more of the European Union break apart. How this shapes.
And how wrong were all of those experts? So whenever people say, well, the experts say, well, the experts get it wrong all the time.
The polls did too.
504-260-0995 if you want to chime in. We're going to talk to Jude Heath coming up. Tax audit tips for entertainment and vehicle deductions. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome. Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is hour two. We started at 10 a.m. We go to 1 o'clock. If you have a financial situation, don't know what to do, might be mutual funds, might be those IRAs that roll over from your 401k, the annuity, or it could be about taxes. I know. You're like, why are you bringing that up? We've passed October 15th. I don't have to do anything till January. Well, that might not be the case. You might need to do something more. That's why we have one of our Total Wealth Authority members with us this hour. Jude Heath is in studio as well. If you have a financial situation, the number is 504-260-0995. One of our team members sent me an email over. Somebody had called the office with a radio show question. If you do that, you can give them a message and they will email it over to me as well. And if you're looking to talk to me during the week or one of my team, or get more in depth than just a radio show phone call, that office number is 504-832-9200.
What's up, Jude Heath? Jude Heath is in studio. He's the CPA of the Total Wealth Authority. And we're loving us some Jude Heath these days because, you know, the extension deadline finally happened and did my taxes. He did my taxes. And they turned out great. I'm so happy.
Glad it worked out for you. I enjoyed the Halloween party.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. We'll get to that a second. Okay. But let me love on you for a second Jude. Let me, because I did something really stupid. It's kind of boneheaded, and I'm known for these things, and I'm a good lesson to learn from. Yeah, I have my own little LLC. I make some money through iHeart Media, and then I make some money on the side. Go easy on that mic there, Jude. And I set aside money to pay the taxes that goes through my LLC, and I spent through about half of it, Jude. I just had to. Four kids, wife's not working, things happen, air conditioner goes out. Had some car trouble. You get the sob stories all the time. Dude, I was sweating it. I was like, I have nowhere near the 20% saved up that I took out that I need to have just in case. So what I was hoping for was my tax bill better be below what I have saved up, or I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have the savings to cover this. I guess I could put it on a credit card is what that was seriously what I was thinking about doing. And I got my return back, and I'm actually getting money back. So me and the hot redhead are just running around high-fiving the babies. You know, they have no idea what's going on, but they can appreciate that their parents are super excited. So, I mean, you are just a gift from God right now, Jude. I could kiss you on the mouth if that was, you know, if that would help anything.
No, it wouldn't, but thank you. And we really enjoyed working with you guys through the process. You came in a few weeks ago. We just kind of kept asking questions and getting information, and it came together nice. So just another success story.
Well, here's what we noticed is there was the original volley of questions that we answered, and then there was follow-up questions, and if it wasn't for what we know they were for, it would have been annoying. But every question that came back is like, they found another deduction, didn't they? They found it. Why else would they need to know this? Why else would they need to know how much money we spent on our electric bill last year? Why else would they need to know our water? You need to know that. Okay, we can do that. But we knew everything that was asked of us in an email, and there must have been six or seven different times that we had to go back and forth and get some new documentation to you. I guess that's where all that came from. I mean, what kind of deduction checklist do y'all go through there?
We look at it compared to other similarly placed businesses. So first of all, we look at, you know, what's available to you in your business. And then I call it horizontally. We look at it compared to, not that we have a lot of radio TV show personalities, but other similar businesses, and ask questions of, you know, could James and Monique have this?
Who's Monique? Gregory?
I have no idea.
Because I'm married to a lady named the Hot Redhead.
Redhead, yeah. Okay. Could the Hot Redhead and family have this? So it worked out well, and I'm glad we're able to take care of you guys.
Can I just bring up something? I don't know if you caught yourself doing it the other day, actually, when you were talking about the taxes. You did mention I was wondering if you were married to two women, because you did mention somebody named that the other day that he seemed.
Oh, what's her face? I accidentally said her real name.
Yeah.
I mean, not her real name.
I was like, wow. And he picked it back up, so don't feel too bad of outing him there.
Sometimes we slip in the objectification of my wife.
Ooh.
Okay, so you have the big deadline that everyone knows about. We know you're in playoff mode from January until April 15th. But you know, there was a lot of action going on last time we talked to you, because you were nearing the other deadline. Is this sort of like a calm spell relatively for the accounting industry?
And yes, for the accounting industry. But one of the things that we do different is at October the 31st, we hit the ground running with taxed estimates for 2016, we find that you can make better tax decisions before the end of the year when it's all said and done. And so for most of our clients, we're going to pull together, you know, hey, what's your year-to-date pay stub? You know, what kind of taxes are being withheld? What is your business year-to-date income? And we'll give them a pretty good estimate of what their taxes are going to look like. They can make decisions based on that. Do I contribute more to my retirement? All these questions. And so it in the years, you know, over a number of years, it helps lower taxes paid significantly for the clients that we can do estimates for.
So am I going to be getting one of these emails? I imagine there's going to be a follow-up. Whenever you get that much money back, you've said in the past you're withholding too much. You shouldn't be getting a ton of money back at the end of the year. And if you do, you should tweak what you do in the following years. Without, you know, memorizing my situation, what do you think I'm doing wrong here?
I think we'll let it go one more year. It's the end of the year. From your withholding standpoint. So, you know, let us glide in on that adjustment. Let's don't do anything rash.
Okay.
We'll make some adjustments, but, it's not a bad thing to get refunds. It certainly wasn't something you were expecting, but, we're glad it turned out that way.
Good deal. Are you the one that handles taxes, like, throughout the staff for Gregory Rickson Associates?
A handful. You know, some folks, they ask certainly a lot of questions, and I'm glad to answer everybody's tax questions. And then I handle several of the staff, and, you know, glad to help, you know, anybody that comes on.
Do you get the same sort of reaction, though, from people? Or, oh, my goodness, I thought I was going to pay, and I'm getting money back?
Not always. You know, some folks are in different situations. And so, everybody's a little bit different.
All right. So our topic of the day is going to be tax audit tips for entertainment and vehicle deductions. And when we talk about that, I'm going to ask first and foremost about the party on Thursday, how much of that's deductible. But real quick, we have another Total Wealth Authority member on the line here, Stephanie Campani. She's one of the partners of the Dwell Nola Realty Firm, who was also at the Halloween party on Thursday. But she'll be our guest next weekend. What are we talking about, Stephanie?
Good morning, everyone. We're going to talk about title issues and how important it is that people get title insurance when buying a new home.
Okay.
It can be extremely detrimental if you don't have it.
Sounds good. You had a great costume. You were a voodoo doll?
I was, yes. It was a great party.
Yes. We'll have to explain the rest of our costumes coming up.
Hey, keep her on the line. I've got a question.
Okay.
I have somebody that called the office and left a message, so it's been forwarded to me, and he has a question about a home that is a cash sell offer, and he's thinking about pulling money out of his TSP or what's a better route. So if somebody's doing a cash sell offer, that's really about something being bought and closed fast, I assume, Stephanie?
Correct, yeah. You don't have to wait the 30 to 45 days depending on the lender to process all of their stuff. I mean, you can close it within a week's time, depending on how many other processes they want to do, like an appraisal or inspections, that kind of thing. But yeah, it can be closed right away.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, is just money on the table now. Let's get this done.
That's right.
All right,
well, the best way to do it, if you can.
We look forward to it Saturday. You done with her, Gregory?
Good. Thank you.
All right, let's go to another member of the Total Wealth Authority. We got Jude Heath, one of the Total Wealth Authority members in here. But on the line now is Dwayne. The reason I'm bringing him in, I asked him to call in because I was actually in the office. Myself and Angie were in his office when he got a call from your office about his tax return. Dwayne, what'd you think? How mad were you when you got that that news about your taxes back?
Listen, I was not, Jude is, here's what I got to say about him and his team. Greg, you've assembled, just another, Jude wears a cape, whatever he is, he's fantastic. Cause I know he took care of me with my personal situation was, a little bit unique, that we had to get handled. And, just the greatest questions asked by his assistant were fantastic. And, you know, sometimes our business, we have to uncover things, right, Jude, Greg?
Right.
I mean, we've got to just ask those tough questions, and Jude's team did that, and it was good news all around, that's for sure. So something where I thought some errors were done in the past, Jude's team was able to right some wrongs just because of their vast knowledge, and it was just fantastic. And hey, it makes filing taxes, maybe it's going to be fun again for me, so I look forward to it, that's for sure.
Especially when it's less than you expected. That's really good news. Jude, you're moving up to superhero status here.
We want you to love your taxes.
Yep.
Yes. Well, we definitely do. And, you know, I definitely wanted to call in because it was really just the ability of your team, man, just to uncover everything and ask so many questions that for the last 20 years were never even asked of me, especially owning my own business and different things like that. The value that you showed was just fantastic. So it was good. So, yeah, when James and Angie came in, I was just getting over, you know, I was about to take the proverbial walk the plank, and then I got the call from your assistant over there, and it was a good call, that's for sure.
Yeah, and let me describe what it looked like to myself and Angie. We drove up to the North Shore to go to Cross Country NOLA. His offices are in Mandeville. And we walk in, and he calls us back, and right as he calls us back, phone rings. He goes, hang on a second, I got to take this. Now, we didn't know who he was talking to, but we sit on his couch, and, you know, there's a little bit of small talk, a little bit about really, really, blah, blah, blah. I have no idea what's going on, but Dwayne, the next line I noticed was he went, I love you. And it was it's kind of forceful.
A little emotional there.
Yeah, and is it too soon to say that? Is that okay? And I was like, is this your hot date from Saturday? No, I'm talking to Jude Heath's office.
That's right.
They did my tax return.
That's right. It was fantastic. So definitely wanted to throw some kudos out on that. So appreciate it. That's for sure. No doubt about it.
All right. You can hear more from Dwayne Stein on his show, Mortgage Gumbo, coming up at 1. Yeah. And so Dwayne and I had to share a moment. You love him? Yeah, I love him, too. It's amazing. So we kind of had a drink to Jude Heath, and you didn't even know we were talking about you.
Perfect.
All right.
That's
if you
the
have
best way.
Yes. Tax situation, financial situation, you got a question on deductions for entertainment and vehicles, give us a call, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks, joined by Jude Heath in studio on iHeartRadio.
Well, may not live forever, but one thing, a gift we've been given is 30 more years is how we look at retirement nowadays. Remember when Social Security started? What was life expectancy for women? About 62. Men, about 59. We're not expecting all these guys to be drawing it. Now, life expectancy is late 80s, early 90s for women. You're listening to Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. We have in studio with us new superhero, Jude Heath. If you don't believe me, go ask Dwayne Stein, another Wealth Authority member that just loved a reduction on his expected tax bill. We have a caller on the line. He had actually called the office, Angie told me, and we kind of touched on part of his question with Stephanie. Go ahead, James.
So we got Roger in Grand Bay, Alabama. I don't know if we should help this guy, because what's happening tonight about 8-ish? Or is that 6? What time's the game? Or is that next week? When does LSU play Alabama?
Next week.
That's next week.
Yeah, he's good for today. We'll help.
All right. Well, I'm glad you didn't call next week, and Roger, you'd be in trouble. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, sir. I was calling about there's a property next to me that's actually we bid on it and won the bid. But I was wondering, should I take my money out of my TSP account? And I'm not active anymore. I've medically retired from the government, and it's just sitting there. I can't contribute, and it's about the same place it's been since 2004 when I left.
So it's money at the old job.
Yes.
Okay, on your buying, and you mentioned it's a cash. Let's see, when you spoke with a team member at my office, you've got a question about a cash sale offer. And that's why I asked Stephanie about, just wanted to clear it up with her because she deals with these type of deals in real estate every day. And she's one of the owners of Dwell NOLA Realty that had called in. And basic cash offer is, it's a quick deal, wanting to wait for you to get through financing for about 45 days. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
So,
and I have access to money to buy the property to pay for it. I've just, you know, I have to pay that money's back. So,
yeah. So you don't have, say, emergency cash that would cover this deal?
Yes, I do. That's what I'm saying. I do have access to cash to pay for it.
Okay. Well,
but the cash that I have to pay for it is, you know, has to be paid back.
Okay. So you don't have, banking account, $100,000, for example, just assuming that's what the deal is. So you're looking at your TSP as the source of that.
Either TSP or, you know, my home, for as, you know, I have a home that's paid for already.
Well, here's the problem on the TSP. You're going to make a distribution, and it's not going to be a loan. You're going to have to take a distribution, which is a taxable event. Right. You're not working there, so this is going to make that purchase. Are you really getting a good deal? Because to, let's say, for example, that deal is $100K, you know, you're getting taxed on that money. Now, I'm assuming you're over 59 and a half?
No, sir.
You're under. Ooh.
Dang.
Yeah, it's not.
Did you separate? Are you 55?
No, sir.
Okay. Yikes. Okay. There's
10%. I'm 51, and I'm thinking it's probably going to be about 30% on that money getting it out. So.
Yeah, plus 10% penalty because you're under 59 and a half. That's going to make that really expensive. Sounds like the home equity line, if you've got enough there, is a quick way to do that deal. And then maybe start a distribution plan from your TSP or roll that money over somewhere else so you can get it working for you how you want it, and maybe start a distribution plan. And that's still a wrinkle. I'm more about probably in that case, God, it's just, he's 51. The workarounds on that, no matter what you do, is expensive because you weren't 55 when you separated. You're not a government safety worker, which would be another exception. Disability might be another exception. So it's going to be expensive to grab that TSP money.
Why are you hesitating on the HELOC? Getting the money from home
he's
equity.
Still looking at how does he pay that back. He's got to pay it back. So.
Oh, okay. And so how would you get the money to pay it off the HELOC?
So I'm just looking at that old money. So you obviously do have other sources of income. Is that going to fit in your budget to pay it over time?
Yeah. I mean, we don't have any bills and, you know.
Yeah, it's a bad mistake to go use that TSP money. It's just going to be too darn expensive.
I was thinking so, too. I was thinking it'd probably be best to just, you know, try to go with a home equity or something and pay that money back. And
is there any 72T equivalent for a TSP? That's ugly too.
There is, but it's all ugly and puts him under requirements that can be easily
violated, right.
Causing tax and penalties. I'd rather him go with the HELOC since he has that ability, and you can get that knocked out quick to get that deal done. Does that help you?
What's that, the HELOC, the home equity?
Yeah, home equity loan, something to that effect where you can get it done quick. Just disastrous financially to use qualified money in your situation because of your age.
Right. And then, you know, if it does happen to gain a little interest in there, you know, the home equity line's probably not, I don't know what the rate is right now, but it's pretty cheap, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're good for right now. And then whatever your game plan is to pay that off over time, so it sounds like it can fit into your budget. One thing to consider is maybe having a further discussion about that money that's at the old job. How are you getting it to work, or what are you going to do with it in the future?
It's not doing anything. It's just sitting there.
Well, you did call my office number earlier. Call us back again, and let's talk about it, see if we can help you there with that.
All right. I'll do it. I'll call your office.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Roger.
Yeah, and thanks for listening out in Alabama. Did you find us on News Talk 104.9?
I did. I listened one night and heard you guys, and I'm interested, and so now I listen all the time.
Fantastic. Welcome to the show, Roger. All right.
Full-time listener.
Yeah, and everyone listening on 104.9. We're glad to have you on board. Thank you. Thank you very much for tuning in. But Jude Heath, our CPA's in studio, did you notice every obstacle to Roger's solution involved taxes?
Yeah, and I didn't I agree with Gregory on that. But generally, when we have folks approach us, my first question was, what are the economics behind this piece of land? But, you know, we didn't get that there with Roger. But we generally don't advise any of our clients to take qualified money and pay all those taxes for, you know, a piece of real estate.
Well, I can tell you, he did tell us the economics of that property. That's land next door to his house.
Right, but
I
how does it
see
make
that clear cut right mm-hmm. there? He just wants that land.
How does it make money?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's lifestyle purchase.
Yeah. So that's lifestyle could be taking a trip or having a piece of land next to you, and that generally we don't advise our clients to do that.
Okay. We all done with Roger? Can we move back? To
maybe he's going to grow soybeans there.
There's an economic impact next time. There's
edamame.
Yes.
Edamame. Yeah.
Appetizers for everyone. Jude Heath, you were at our Spirit and Spirits Halloween party from Gregory Rickson Associates. When you go to an event like this and you know this is put on by a firm, do you just see tax deductions everywhere, like the Tootsie Roll commercial, whatever it is you think you see becomes a Tootsie Roll? Were you just seeing That's a tax deduction. That's a deduction. That's a deduction. That chocolate fountain, that's deducted. Those drinks, that's a deduction. Hey, those prizes for the costume contest, that's all a deduction. Is that what you see when you go to events like that?
Well, the first thing I saw was the great costumes, and of course, I didn't get the memo. I didn't come in a costume, but of course, the costumes are deductible. So that's
what? Yeah. Wait a second.
All right.
I didn't save that receipt.
Oh, I've got receipts
for your Prince Charming.
Yeah,
and for the dwarves and the Snow White. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
See, you look at that Snow White dress.
This party just got even better.
Yeah, so that was a nice dress. That's all deductible, huh? She looked like she was really Snow White.
She did.
All right, so you do see deductions everywhere. I wasn't just being a smart aleck.
No, the deductions are available. That's one of the things we're talking about today is having the proper record keeping to protect them under audit.
Okay, so this counts as an entertainment deduction.
Correct.
What are the lines on there? Can you deduct like your own birthday party? I mean, that's entertainment if you have it at the office or if it's. The office pays for it. I mean, where's the line there? Because I'm sensing gray area.
Of course, there's gray. You have to document who your party participants were, who came to your party. If you have nothing but clients, those are clients attending a party that you're throwing. You know, very similar to the Halloween party. So we don't know. Maybe Gregory's birthday is on Halloween.
Okay.
Well, we'd be celebrating it a little bit late.
Sure.
But could.
No problem there. Everything in there, is it all deductible?
Yeah,
like everything?
The chocolate fountain, that's a pay per person. So, yeah.
Photographer, like the photo booth, the bartender, the drinks, the alcoholic beverages, all of that.
Yes.
All right. So there wasn't anything in there that you didn't see as a write-off.
Did I say that backwards? Yes, those were write-offs.
All right. Anything that was any money spent in there that wasn't a write-off?
I didn't see anything.
Wow, the whole thing.
The whole thing was a write-off.
This is why we get excited working with Jude. This is how I didn't have to pay taxes this year. Incredible stuff. All right, we'll keep going through this.
Zero? It wasn't 0%, but you didn't have to pay any extra.
Right. I got money back after I filed. That's probably how I should have said it. All right, we're going to go through some more tax audit tips for entertainment and vehicle deductions. Why pay taxes when you don't have to? That's not fun. It's Jude Heath. I'm James Parker on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. This is iHeartRadio.
Well, I love you more than anything in the world. Love your baby girl.
Financial planning.
It's about, are you going to reach that financial destination you want to arrive at? You know, the dreams come true, the winning at life. We are Winning at Life, the weekly wrap here on Saturdays, live from 10 to 1. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. In studio, new superhero, CPA Jude Heath, getting some love from James Parker and Dwayne Stein, host of Mortgage Gumbo.
Hey, I've been friends with Angie for about 7 years. Never did thousands of dollars result from it. So there's reasons why Jude has already leapfrog Angie on the friend list.
Wait, explain that again?
My friendship with Jude has resulted in thousands of dollars being showered upon me and the hot redhead.
Can we reverse that, though? Jude, can you hook it up? I'm friends with James Parker. I mean, there could be a discount somewhere.
Why don't you get him to do your taxes? That's all you got to do. It really is that easy.
All right.
And see, here's what I'm already thinking about. From the questions he was asking, I'm already know there's some things I got to tweak for next year. I got to do some of this vehicle stuff. I do nothing with the vehicles, and I think I'm, hey.
Oh, that's one of the reasons to have your entity run a business yourself.
My entity doesn't own my
vehicle. Next thing, you could have 10 vehicles. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you might want to get a hold of yourself here. Hey, and I liked it. By the way, if you have a financial or tax situation, not quite sure what to do, this segment right here, perfect time to call 504-260-0995, because I guarantee you we're going to come back, and next week when you're not in studio, we're going to have a great tax question, Jude. That's how it works. But when we talk about deductions and audits, I love this analysis here. This group did a word search on the tax code for the Internal Revenue in the Internal Revenue Code or the IRS regulations. One word does not show up anywhere in there.
Mercy.
Mercy. There is no mercy. It's like the Cobra Kai from Karate Kid. No mercy. Do they follow the Cobra Kai rules there?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the reasons why I chose these two categories, entertainment and vehicle expenses, is what we see is this is where the IRS goes first. We call it the low-hanging fruit. So they come in and, you know, let's see your vehicle logs, let's see your entertainment deductions, and, you know, just start, you know, checking things off. And we have seen over the years that this is one of the least documented deductions that most taxpayers have. And so with the end of the year coming up, tax records being pulled together for 2016, thought it was a great time to just talk about what is required, what is the documentation that's necessary to sustain or hold up your deductions in the event of an IRS audit.
Well, what do you think about my system where anytime I get a receipt that's going to be a deduction for my LLC, I just lay it down flat and I take a picture of it with my phone and then throw the receipt in the trash?
And that is that the phone picture is a great idea. Because it protects, you know, the print on the, because the little receipts there, they become sometimes illegible. They fade out,
or right. If they get too hot, they can black out too.
Right. The main thing to think about is the receipts that are over $75, the IRS, even though they're faded, could ask for those original copies. You can show them the faded one in the picture. This is a picture that I took, you know, when it was incurred, and that is substantiation enough in addition to, you know, the business purpose for the entertainment and those types of questions.
Oh, wow. So I need to keep my receipts that are over $75?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't do that last year. Yes. All right. Well, next year moving forward and for the last 2 months of 2016, that will be the rule of the road there.
And you might not want to say that on the air that you didn't keep your receipts over $75.
Yeah, it's recorded for all of history.
Yeah, no, the James Show is for entertainment purposes only. This isn't Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is some other goofball just running his mouth. No. Well, come get me, IRS. I got Jude Heath watching the gate there, so you're going to have to get through him first. So what do I need to do? I plan on looking into this auto expense deduction next year. How do I set that up?
So for years, taxpayers have had a hard time, you know, scribing down their mileage logs. You know, the business purpose of the trip, beginning odometer, ending odometer. One of the nice things about the smartphone apps is there are plenty of apps now that record your GPS positioning as you stop and start trips, and you can email yourself your trips at the end of a given month. So there's several of them out there. I've had clients use TaxBot. We like MileIQ. There's many vehicle mileage apps. So that kind of solves the old, you know, taxpayers not keeping their mileage logs.
Yeah, see, when I was growing up on the farm, my dad had a farm truck and he would keep the logs on that, but not the other vehicles. I didn't know what the heck was going on. And then also, when I was growing up, some of my friends became truckers, and it was before it all went electronic. So for the first few years, they had the logbook, and they called it the Book of Lies. Is that your experience too? When you get the old vehicle logbooks, it's just people made it up. Like at the end of the month, they just filled in at one sitting wherever they went.
And what this recommendation is just to sit down weekly. The contemporaneous evidence requirement by the IRS is that you review your records and you write down and match it up to your calendar and make sure that you have your appointments and make sure that, you know, that we've seen over the years where, you know, taxpayers will come in and say, well, you know, I drove, you know, 4,000 miles on that day. I'm overestimating
sure.
for purpose. The IRS will look at that. They will say, well, it's physically impossible for you to, you know, there's not enough hours in the day. And so what's really nice about the weekly review and compare it to your tax records and just make sure that your evidence matches is you don't get to the end of the year and wonder, you know, how can I piece all this together?
So what's the point of logging this? Do I only get to deduct trips that I do to the office or to a client and not to the grocery store?
So the your client trips, if it's not your first trip, you know, are deductible. Your commute generally isn't deductible.
Commute is not deductible?
That's right. That's right. Generally, you think your first trip, your first trip out the door is generally not deductible, be it to a client or to your office. So, but the second one and then subsequent trips then are deductible.
Well, then how do you buy gas for your car, can you use the company debit card and make that a business expense? Or you can, but you can only write off the amount that went to business trips? How does that work?
So getting a little technical, but that there is an election on each vehicle per entity.
An election.
An election. When you place that vehicle in service, you elect whether you want to take standard mileage, the standard mileage rate, which is 54.5 cents a year, or actual expenses. We've seen over the years that standard mileage on anybody that drives any number of miles is generally more, but it does require you to keep a little bit more records. If you take actual expenses, which are fill-ups, gas and oil and repairs, you keep your mileage logs, but only for the purpose of maintaining your business use versus your personal use of your vehicle. And the critical thing to remember there is the election takes place when the vehicle is placed in service in that entity. So, and you can always revert to actual expenses, but once you start claiming actual expenses, you can never go back to standard mileage.
Interesting.
Little bit technical.
You have a recommendation between the two?
We always, as a general rule, unless it's somebody that doesn't travel a lot, doesn't use their car very much, we generally recommend the mileage, the IRS mileage every year.
The standard deduction?
Mm-hmm. The standard mileage rates. That's right.
A lot to digest here. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking about how that works with my car. I have a truck that I already own. Do I have to sell it or somehow do an active donation to my my business?
So we've taken actual expenses for you. There's, unless we changed entities in some way, that's what we pretty much going to stay with.
Okay.
Yeah.
So next car purchase.
Next car purchased, right.
Would go into the entity. Lease would be preferred.
Lease is mostly deductible. Depending, it can. We've had over the years, clients ask us to do a lease analysis of whether it's just a little bit more expensive to lease than to own outright.
Well, the hot redhead's looking at buying a new car. Do I need to act on this now? She's getting a new little minivan.
So the main determinant there is how much business purpose trips she's going to have.
Almost none.
In that vehicle, then that's going to be a tough one.
See, this stinks because we work out of the house, so most of our business is done within the little square footage that we live in.
Okay, let's change scenario.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll change scenarios. Sorry to interrupt you there, Gregory. So we got Jude Heath, the CPA of the Total Wealth Authority, in studio. That's Gregory Ricks about to ask an awesome question in 3 minutes. I'm James Parker. If you have a question, 504-260-0995. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I see a dust trail following an old red Nova. Baby blue eyes, your head on my shoulder.
Wait, baby, don't move. Right there it is. Welcome back. Winning It Life, weekly wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. In studio, we have Jude Heath. We're talking about tax deductions, automobiles, and side of companies. I've got a great question coming up for him. But if you have a question, you need that financial fix today for a better tomorrow. The number is 504-260-0995. Email me, Gregory at Gregory Ricks, or just go use the Gregory Ricks and Associates app and message us. If you don't have it, download it. Hey, download the iHeartRadio app as well, because for some reason we get preempted occasionally, like Pelicans in the WRNO market, or
for our buddies in Biloxi.
Yeah, you may just step away from the air feed and want to pick us up on the stream. Have a party like I did last night, and we play iHeartRadio for everybody. It's all fun. The phone number to call, once again, 504-260-0995. We went to break. Question. James is moving up from a miniature little mini-type van.
They're called crossovers now. They don't call them station wagons anymore. They're crossovers.
Yeah, some little station wagon to a van, and a town and country at that is the thinking here.
Minivan, right.
Okay, so
cool.
And he has a separate business that he and she are king and queen of that entity. Is that still your title? King?
Literally, it's in our corporate bylaws. I'm the king, she's the queen.
So imagine that. So they're moving on up to the town and country. About leasing the vehicle inside of that, I lease a couple of vehicles inside of my entity. And then they'll say, well, how much of it is personal use? None. It's all business use because that's why it's leased in the company. I have other personally owned vehicles. That helps, doesn't it?
Yes. I still think that were you audited, that the IRS would ask to see vehicle mileage logs for what is the business purpose of the mileage that you've generated on this vehicle. And so that's why one of the reasons why we're talking today about how to protect your deductions in the event of an audit.
Well, that's why I have a tax attorney / CPA do my taxes so that he can set in on the audit one day.
And so that we can make recommendations in advance of that audit,
yeah,
that this is how you protect your deductions, is to keep your mileage logs as you make your trips. Or employ an app.
Okay, so it looks like for...
app for everything.
Mm-hmm. Looks like for our situation here, we should buy it just as normal, not buy it under the business. Maybe if we go on a business trip, because I have to take 3 or 4 of those
but
a year.
But you deduct... Hey, look, there's more than just the vehicle you're deducting. Insurance, you're pumping pre-tax gasoline in it, you're changing
like the
oil
sound
pre-tax.
Like the sound of that.
You know, it's pre-tax. It's something to consider that way before you buy it outside. Then it's a whole different ball game.
What do you think, guys? Should I buy it under the company or buy it personally?
In your particular situation, I would recommend for you to buy it personally.
Just don't use it enough, huh? All right. Well, let's talk about some examples you brought in with you. This James Barton saga sounds like a cautionary tale for how I could screw it up should I choose to pursue these deductions without consulting Jude Heath and Jay Heath. Are you familiar with this story that you can,
yes,
just tell it, or you want me to read through it?
Go ahead. You know, I can tell you that the top level is that you need to have handwritten records. We see so many folks that come in with, you know, spreadsheets that they've, you know, typed out, you know, at the end of the year or when they come under audit. And that typically doesn't hold up under audit.
That's so weird, because usually digital and professional, it supersedes handwritten anything. You know, when it comes to wills or contracts or, you know, the other situations, usually they prefer for it to be spit out of a computer. Why do they prefer handwritten on this?
Because it shows that you did it contemporaneously, or a week in this case, a week from the actual activity. You didn't take a look at your calendar for the whole year and recap it at the end of the year when it was time to do taxes.
I don't know. How can you prove you didn't do it like that if it's digital? I know, it makes it tough. But in the situation here, Barton claimed $15,000 of auto expenses and $2,400 of claimed entertainment expenses. He lost most of his auto expense deductions. He lost 13.8 of his $15,700 in auto deductions. Part of that was what you mentioned, not keeping the records on a contemporaneous basis. No handwritten records of any type, because he had discarded them in his quest for a paperless office. So the IRS is going to penalize you for that.
Well, the no mercy rule comes in. And remember what I said in the beginning. It's low-hanging fruit. They come in and they go right to what they know typically taxpayers struggle with in terms of record keeping.
All right. Now, some of these other ones are a little more obvious. He had mismatches in the records he tried to recreate after the fact, where he flew and took a car trip on the same day. Of course, that's going to get you in trouble. There's no arguing with that, no gray area with that. He claimed extensive business mileage on days when it was impossible to have such mileage because he was in flight training for his private airplane.
This is an extensive example. But the point is that for you know, taxpayers, specifically while we're starting a new year or ending this year, is you know, to have your records that you're maintaining, you know, on a weekly basis, keep your receipts just like you do. You know, you keep the paper copy, anything over $75, and keep a picture so that you can, you know, prove to the IRS, and then keep your business purpose of, you know, why you ate lunch with a particular person, what What did you discuss? What was the business discussion?
Man, it's a lot to put in on that. Another thing that tipped off the IRS is he claimed 48,000 business miles were traveled. Gregory, you would have to live here and commute to Chicago every day to get 48,000 miles in 1 year in a business setting, right? I mean, you do a lot of traveling. You didn't do 48,000 miles.
You don't get your commute.
Well, I don't but, right. by car.
But this,
maybe I should lease a jet.
This was 48,000 miles that he was claiming on just his car. I figured he was including his airplane on that too. You would have to. You'd have to fly around the world. You couldn't drive 48,000 miles in a year if you wanted to. You'd have to be a trucker. Okay. Entertainment expenses. What are some good rules of thumb there? The same receipt laws apply. If it's over $75, you better keep it. And the more notes you keep, the better. And if they can look contemporaneous, the better.
Yes. And they will match it up to, you know, your calendar. And, you know, make sure that, you know, like you weren't out of town on the day you said that, you know, you were eating in town. So, again, the law applies of just sit down once a week, you know, and go through your records and just make your notes.
I got big problems with all this handwritten stuff. He's waving at the camera, not you. Jude, he's waving at the camera over there.
We're streaming live as always.
Okay. He's just waving at the Facebook Live people.
Facebook Live today. Periscope doesn't like to work too well at the studio downtown.
Yeah, it's so weird. It works so great during the week.
Yeah.
So, Jude, I got a problem here because all this handwritten stuff, I'm bristling at all of this. You know, I do keep a daily contemporaneous log of my activities, of where I am and where I'm going and how long I was there, and it's all on my iPhone calendar. That doesn't count? Can I get a little bit of credit for that? Or I know there's no mercy in the dojo. I got it. Sweep the leg Johnny and all that works for the IRS now. But this handwritten stuff, I don't like it.
I understand.
No guidance. You're just like, eat it, James. There's no mercy.
But this is what the IRS looks for. Now, you know, if you were audited, you know, would you get thrown out as bad as this poor fella Barton? You know, we'd, as you said, we'd certainly stand in front of you, you know, representing you before the IRS.
Doesn't it look at least contemporaneous? Or do you see an evolution in the enforcement here, considering that the world is going to be dominated by people like me here in about 20 years?
Well, one of the things that we've noticed is that if the IRS determines that you're a poor record keeper, that kind of settles them in for a little while. They, you know, if they say, well, let's say your mileage logs and your entertainment records, and you produce, you know, scanned copies of, you know, all of your records, and you have all your ducks in a row, they might think that it's not worth their time to keep pressing on old James.
Oh, good, good. So even if it's digital, I can still make a pretty good case. All right, so I imagine there's a guy out there listening right now who has a small business, and he has at least his business vehicle, if not more, under his own name. What's the process like to take advantage of some of these deductions? Can he sell that to his business or donate it to his business, or does he have to wait till he buys a new vehicle and buy that under the business? There's a guy out there who wants to take advantage of this. How does he get his feet wet?
So remember, with the vehicle deduction, it's when it's placed in service in that business. So if he placed that vehicle in service some years ago and either claimed the actual or the standard mileage, then remember, you can always change from standard mileage to actual. You can never go back from actual to standard mileage. So that election stays in effect for that business.
All right. If you need any more guidance, how do they find you, Jude?
Just either call Gregory's office or my office is 504-832-1873. We'll be happy to help.
Thank you very much, Jude Heath. He's the CPA of the Total Wealth Authority. He will be in attendance at our next Gregory Ricks Live event Tuesday, November 15th. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Winning It Live, the weekly wrap, where you can get your financial fix today for a better tomorrow. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, the 401k and Retirement Authority. Coming up, I've got a couple of topics I want to talk about. Fixed annuities, maybe creating a pension-like system, and maybe avoiding one of the things or the big negatives regarding fixed annuities.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504- 860-0995. You can send us a message via the Gregory Rickson Associates app, or you can go to Facebook, send us a message there. We're on Facebook Live. You can find us also Gregory at GregoryRicks.com if you want to do the old email thing. Remember emails, y'all. So, Gregory, we're in open enrollment season. This means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. For myself, this means I get to change my health plan at work through my employer. For Angie, who just recently went to part-time, this is where she can enroll in one of the exchanges for Obamacare, should she so choose. But open enrollment season.
Those premiums are going down?
Oh, they're great. It's awesome. The coverage is awesome. You get to choose your doctor and keep your plan. It's perfect. For other people, open enrollment season, they're looking at, is this the Medicare window as well? So there's a lot of different instructions on that, but Angie's in a situation.
Yeah, I mean, worst timing ever, especially if the premiums are going to look as bad as they say.
Yeah, so she is she's in a situation where she's had an employer provided health insurance for the last, what, 7-8 years?
Yeah.
Well, and then you had an employer before that, so God knows how long. This is going to be your first little experiment into the individual market, huh?
It's kind of scary, but I've actually looked online, and there are already some different ideas or different routes I can take that are not too bad.
So. All right. We're here. Don't listen. Gregory and I are going to talk about you for a second. We should use her for an experiment on the show. Take off your headphones. We should use her for an experiment on the show. Wouldn't she be a fascinating case study on how to wade through the exchanges and the process?
Yeah, she should keep us surprised on what she's seeing, likes and dislikes, and how that's different from the company plan that she was under until she shifted her job roles, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm interested in how this kind of stacks up with what's being reported. Is it really that bad? How many options do you really have? How many options per company do you have? Because you're
the other two, is she like a 1099 employee now, or is it still a W-2? Is there a reason to create an entity and be employed through that, have deductions for the health insurance? Would be some questions asked also.
Interesting.
Well, just to chime in.
Who said you were listening?
I wasn't listening, but in case I was, the company offered me the COBRA, because I'm still with the company, but I'm not full-time where I can get the benefits, long story short.
Sure.
So they offered me the COBRA, which was double the premium from what we already get, you know, take out of our paycheck, and it didn't cover really half as much as the other plan. So just off the top, that was the worst deal ever. It was like, okay, thanks.
All right, so this is going to be fun watching someone who was previously under the employer regime be thrust into the new individual market. Good luck, buddy. Glad we get to learn from you from a distance.
Maybe you can answer this. I was trying to catch Jude Heath before I left. Am I going to get penalized between October and December for not having medical insurance?
What's your age?
36.
Okay. Well, one of the things, that's not the relevant age I was looking for, but that's one of the things I heard to talk about. And their grand plan was, okay, younger people don't need health insurance. Really, they don't. They don't. 21-year-olds, 22, 23, 24, 25, they really get sick other than get a cold or something. They can go to doctor in a box and get some help. But, you know, a lot of the, you know, even some of my employees was like, you really need to go to the doctor. And who would I go see? I've never been sick before today. I said, well, okay, you're in your late 20s now. You might want to find a doctor in a box you can go see or get a regular physician. But that's the thing, is young people don't get sick unless they're in an accident or something. And that's really bad if you don't have health insurance. I think everybody should have health insurance, but maybe you need more of the catastrophic health insurance when you're young. But Obamacare came about as all these people that are young, they need to be paying premiums, but they're not going to hardly use it. And the young people understand that. And like, why do I need to be paying premiums? Because I never go to the doctor. We need to subsidize all these older people that have to go to the doctor, and it's really expensive for them. So we're going to use all those young people's premiums to help subsidize that. Well, that didn't work out too well either as well. So that's, you know, just kind of the thinking there. But now they've got a situation where, like, Angie's worried about, oh, am I getting penalized because I've got this gap in carryover of insurance? And she's 36, not
24 or 26, so she's likely to have more usage need as well. It's going to cost more. I don't know that the exchange is going, from what they're saying, I don't know that the exchange would be a better deal, but this is going to be something to talk about as she goes through it.
Well, for her individual situation, it may be a better deal because she should qualify for subsidies. I don't know what your adjusted gross income is, but it's not more than four times the poverty line, if I'm not mistaken. So she may be able to get some help. That just means you and I are picking up part of her bill now.
Great.
Thanks, Angie. Appreciate that.
Glad we could help you out.
But, you know, mathematically, they act like that's a dumb decision to make. It's a smart decision to make. When you're 24, a 12-pack of Yingling, you're going to use it this weekend. But buying health insurance, you're probably not going to use it. It is not a wise investment. You're not going to get any of that money back. Gregory, I didn't have health insurance basically until I started working at the satellite radio company. So for almost all of my 20s, from basically 18 to 28, no insurance. And then I'm 39 now. I don't have a doctor. I don't have a primary care physician. I haven't had a physical, a checkup. No one writes me antibiotics when I get sick. I got nothing, Gregory. I have nothing. The only thing I have is the process by which you have kids. So I've met my wife's doctors. I know them. I had a vasectomy, so there's only so much he can take care of. Other than that, I'm totally divorced and disconnected from the medical system.
I'm on the opposite end. I'm very connected, have had health insurance for a long time, and I have a personal physician that I know pretty well. He's been my physician for a great number of years, and an example of his, he has a more like concierge service. There's some VIP organized tie-in, and I pay a fee for him to be my doctor in addition to whatever insurance.
Oh, it's like Costco.
Covers
it's like Costco,
stuff.
But so, a doctor. Okay.
So just like now, Stacy was sick. She had this coughing thing and all that I developed on Monday when I was at the conference in Dallas. And she went and saw a doctor in the box, kind of where the kids go, just, hey, I need to see a doctor real quick. And she said, when I came back, she said, what do you want me to call them, see if they can get you in at the doctor in a box? They're kind of all over the place. I said, no, call my physician and he will see me really quick. He could have seen me the next morning. And this was on Tuesday when I was feeling bad. My schedule was full. I couldn't do anything about it. But that next day, he see me whenever I wanted to go in. So I think I went in, I don't remember the time, but I think it was 11 o'clock or something. Went in there, did the checkup and everything. Next thing, steroid shot, antibiotic. You should start feeling much better in a couple of days. And that's what I like. Why would I go see somebody I don't know when I've got immediate access to my physician? And to me, that's the future of medicine, not being trying to get into an office that's seeing 4,000 or 5,000 patients a year. And you get 5 minutes with them, and you probably don't know the doctor. You're at this firm, and bunch of doctors moving through people. I want to have a personal conversation with my physician about what's going on, and he knows me and cares.
The medical assembly line is what you described there.
Yeah, and I opted out of it.
Concierge service. This is going to be fun because it's not happening to me, but I'm dying to see what her health care costs are going to be next year. Dying to see what her taxes are going to look like. Is she going to get the fine? Gregory, is she going to get a fine for 2016? Going to make her pay it? That's hilarious. That was one of the big stories from last weekend, is the big spike in Obamacare premiums.
We had a message regarding this. Steve from Picayune sent in on the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
Hey,
and
Steve.
And he, yeah, Steve, thanks for adding in, and he basically, the message is, and COBRA just for a limited time, I believe, is 18 months. COBRA is not a permanent fix. It's kind of that thing that gets you over, and it's not necessarily a better deal. A lot of times the COBRA is a higher premium. I don't usually see it as being, oh, it's a discount, because if it's a discount, everybody will, well, heck, I want to opt out of my plan. I want to go to COBRA. COBRA really is, the company's not picking up the premium. You're just carrying it all.
Yeah, Angie,
situation.
You said your premium's doubling?
it doubled, and it didn't cover all that my other insurance did.
What's your deductible look like?
It was like $2,500. My previous deductible was $1,500.
Oh, that's not bad. Mine's $6,000. Mine's
but
above
$6,000. That's a single person. You're married with a family, so.
Yeah.
Is that a family deductible?
Yeah, it's the whole family deductible.
So you're carrying a lot of the cost, and you're basically covered for the catastrophic side.
I'm covered for the catastrophic, and on some of these visits that are expected and the prescriptions that you get, they cover 10%. So we had a $40 prescription for Barfapalooza a couple weekends ago, and they covered $4 of it. Wow, what a gift. I'm paying $390 a month
well,
for this
kids,
plan.
Well, with kids, it would seem like you'd want something with better plan. Kids are always getting sick. The friend that comes over's been to Barfapalooza, well, then all of a sudden yours are going to Barfapalooza.
Everybody, me.
So, and then you probably are going to say, wow, if y'all are going there, I want to go too.
I went there last weekend. Even the cat went.
I'm just going to say this. If you're a single person, 25, and your deductible's $1,500, you're not going to use that insurance all year.
Don't.
When we come back, I want to talk. We're going to spend a couple minutes on pop culture. Maybe health insurance isn't used there. You're listening to Winning at Life, the weekly wrap on iHeartRadio. We'll be right back.
We're young, but I'm not that bold. I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks and James Parker. We're here for another three segments, moving into that second one of the third hour. This is Life Radio. The phone number is 504-260-0995 if you need help or information, question, fulfillment is what we are. We're growing 401ks, money, future, retirement, or that 29-year-old wanting to be a multimillionaire for retirement, and you probably will have to be, should be the thinking on that. So give us a call, 504-260-0995. Email Gregory at gregoryricks.com, or we've already had the app used a number of times today on the show. Go to your app store and just do a Gregory Ricks search and download it. And make sure you have the iHeartRadio app. It connects you to that as well. So if you get away from your air feed and want to listen to us on the stream, it is really easy. So we've been talking about health care on the start of this third hour, and we have a project going forward. Our Angie is going to keep us updated as we go forward. But I was thinking about this show. We kind of was probably really a big hit last Sunday. Everybody tuned in for Walking Dead, and looked like some people were needing some health insurance or doctor visits and such, and it just isn't quite available there. I was almost needing to see a therapist right after the show. It's kind of brutal.
Well, if you think Negan is scary, you should see what Maggie's copay is going to be when she has that baby. Because I know our deductible is $6,000, so we had to pay all the way up to the tippy top, and we still owed more on top of that. My last baby's not paid off, and she's over a year old.
What?
Yeah, the last one, Quinn. Still.
So, you know, you have to finance kids?
Yeah, you got to finance kids. I would prefer, though, if next time I have a baby, when I go to Oxnard, they hit me in the head with Negan's bat. I think that would be better. It would be less painful. Probably be a more pleasant experience. The whole baby part is fine, but the paperwork, the cost, the having to deal with your insurance. What do you mean you don't cover this? Now you got to make a phone call, and maybe they will cover it, and then they got to change the bill. And then you're going to get this other bill, even though you've already paid it off, but they already sent the bill, and so you don't know if this is new or something. It's just, what a pain all this is, Gregory.
Well, I think, I don't feel your pain so much. Gosh, it's scary. It's scarier than that first episode almost, but that was brutal. First episode, kind of, we didn't even talk about it right after it was. Next morning, I mentioned to Stacy, I said, that was a pretty brutal show last night. So it should be a lot more easier to watch this week, I would think.
Well, we get financial lessons out of this show all the time, precisely because it breaks down sort of human society and the human condition in some of its simplest forms.
Negan didn't care about the gold or anything that had been accumulated.
Yeah, he wasn't looking for gold. That's so weird when people say, well, I'm buying physical gold for, you know, in the end times, or when trouble comes, I'll be ready. Really? And then this, I know The Walking Dead shouldn't be used to, you know, padding your life out of it, but there's something to be said by no one gives a rip about gold in the apocalypse.
No, water, food, bullets, stuff that they need. And Negan's thing is he wants everybody to bring him stuff that he may need.
So what are the lessons we learned from the season opening of The Walking Dead?
They should have found Negan and shot him as soon as possible.
Boy, isn't that the truth? They even tried to do it, too.
Yeah, but they just couldn't find the guy.
How silly do some of our trials and tribulations and what we think we're entitled to, how silly does it look like when you really break it down to the core of the human existence?
Well, basically, the show's evolved from a zombie show to post-apocalypse dealing with other humans. And we already figured that out several seasons ago, years, that the problem's not the dead. It's the other humans that are problems. So it's kind of now evolved back into long time ago where it was more warlords taking control of areas and willing their way over everybody, and everybody has to succumb or they whack you. So you either comply or you're out.
Healthcare looks pretty dismal in the apocalypse.
Yeah, well, everything is. So we would like things to work out. And that's where I get questioned a lot of the time, you know, is like, oh, this is going to go bad. It's going to get ugly. Well, the Great Depression was ugly and bubbles popped, everything come off the rails. But you know what? It was a reset, and things work forward from that. Are we going to have some tough financial times, some ugly-looking periods? Probably so. Going to have some bubbles pop, but things will readjust. That's what recessions are, is readjustment. Or your company goes in there and things, we've got too fat, we're too top-heavy, so we're slashing a third of management, bringing in some computers, some robots, and we're going to slash some of that. We've got to get readjusted, and then the company grows, starts growing back and expanding if they've made the right decisions, and probably still adding on more employees in the future, but probably in different roles from what they had. Well, as a country, that's what a recession kind of is a reset. And I think our government is very top-heavy, and somebody needs to relook at that as well. Do we ever really look at government? It just keeps becoming a bigger machine. Even state governments, not just to pick on the feds. I think it happens state government all the way down to parish or city or county.
To the phones we go. Tony in Biloxi, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Tony?
How you doing, sir?
Hey.
Got possibly a complicated question. I'm not sure. Me and my wife both own our own businesses. My wife has a pretty uncomplicated, easy deduction business. I am an independent contractor for a bread company.
Okay.
Me and a few of the other distributors have been talking, and we're not sure if we could be writing off more. Most of us have the same accountant that's through the company, and this accountant also works for the company. Is the company's accountant.
Okay.
And we're trying to figure out if we're getting the proper deductions that we could be getting, or is our accountant looking out for the best interest for the company and then looking out for our interest. I know most of us, we're roughly about a 20% tax rate. We all pay quarterly, every one of us. Yeah, but
Tony, why do I get the feeling you heard something in our discussion with Jude that you feel like you might be missing? What deductions do you think you're missing? Was it all the vehicle talk, and you just want to get into some nuance there?
The vehicle talk, we have, and I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with distributorships, but we basically, we're in the bread business. We buy the bread, we resell it.
Yeah.
And there's things like price allowances that say a bigger company such as, say, Walmart gets a cheaper rate on a bread, which the price is reduced for them, which means we make less commission on that. And we know we're not able to write that off as of right now.
So,
and there's things such as that going on.
So because you're shifting a higher volume to Walmart, your bread supplier doesn't give you a break to help make up that deal as well. So they give Walmart a deal, but they just take it from you, and the bread maker man doesn't.
They get to write that off instead of us.
But you're a 1099 employee?
Yes, sir. Okay. We do all of our own taxes.
Independent contractor.
We pay quarterly.
Is it Schedule C, or do you have an entity?
I believe it's Schedule C, but don't quote me on that.
So you don't have a LLC or Subchapter S company is going through?
Oh, wow.
That's one of the things I would explore right there, because that's going to give you some opportunities. How do you have any employees?
I do pay a gentleman, actually a handful of people to front my bread on the days that I don't deliver.
Right.
And I have a handful, because I have to keep it under the $600 minimum, or else I have to 1099 them also. So I don't pay one employee over $600 a year, so I don't have to 1099 them.
Okay. You also, your wife has her own business as well.
Yes, it's a snowball stand.
Is it an entity?
Yes, it is an LLC.
Okay, but yours is not.
Mine is not.
That is something I would look into. I think you are missing opportunities there, and then you could be salaried as well and have some different write-offs as doing that and avoid some taxes and fees. It's also a workaround. That would probably be your first thing that will provide you some relief and help regarding showing more profits.
Now, Tony in Biloxi sounds like he should be all about those vehicle deductions that we were talking about a couple segments ago, right?
Yeah, that's something to look into. Now, one thing about, and you're using a company CPA, and he's probably looking at it differently from
the for the company's aspect instead of my aspect.
Yeah, but here,
thinking.
And this isn't slight against any CPAs or anything, and I don't believe in working in gray areas, but they're not always open to tax deductions, because here's the thing. Well, that could get you audited. Yeah, but is it in the code that we can do it, long as I have backup paperwork, receipts, contracts, or whatever I need?
Correct.
I'm going to do it and take advantage of what there's in the code. Learned Judge Learned Hand, famous federal judge on the bench, basically said that we are under no obligation to pay more taxes than we absolutely have to. So I believe in using the code, and me worrying about, oh, that'll get you audited. I don't care, long as we win the audit. I make a lot of money. I'm going to get audited, so bring it on.
Yeah.
So I don't let that scare me off. So that's where we just want you to be a little bit more open, and maybe you should talk to somebody else and look at structuring your business as well.
And if you don't know who to call, stick with the Total Wealth Authority. Remember us, GregoryRicks.com or the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Hey, Billy in New Orleans, you're next up. If you want to be after Billy, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Welcome to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up, I just love this little study here, Gregory. A group went out and they did a study, and they let some stock picks go. Don't worry, we'll get to the phone. They did some stock picks from a financial advisor. They also let some junior high kids pick stocks between the ages of 10 and 14. And then they let a house cat picked some stocks, and they went and reviewed it after the course of a year.
Don't tell me the cat did better.
I'll tell you after we talk to Billy in New Orleans. You're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Riggs. How can we help you, Billy?
Hey, well, you can tell I'm a frequent listener.
Awesome.
My husband passed away 8 months ago after 40 years of marriage. I'm 65. He was 86. We live in Algiers. He left me with a home that's paid for. I would like to sell the house. I'm raising 8 and a 10-year-old grandchildren. I'd like to sell the house and move to the North Shore. But the house is there. I think I'm going to have to pay at least $250 to $270 to get anything, you know, comparable to what I'm used to living in. But I have about 80. I hope to get over a little over 200 for the house in Algiers, and I got about 80,000 that I can put my hands on liquid. Would I be better off taking that 80,000 and putting it with what I get out of my house in Algiers and buying another house And when the Social Security runs out for the girls, then I'll think about a reverse mortgage. Because between their Social Security and mine and my substituting, I'm living on about $50,000 a year. And I can do that if I watch my pennies. I just didn't know if I would be a candidate to even get a loan since my income is Social Security and substituting, you know. But I do have a 780 score, you know.
Okay, that's good. So, what is your age again?
65.
65. How long do you think you'll continue substituting?
Probably about another 5 years, you know.
Youngest age of the children?
8 and 10. They're 8 and 10 right now.
Okay, so we kind of know that's another decade to come, 10 years roughly, on that income. Substituting for you just depends on how things go for you. You're 65.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's one of the things. You can do a reverse mortgage purchase on the house, not necessarily just for how do I buy the house and then 10 years from now switch it to a reverse. One of the things I would look at in consideration of if you're making a purchase is you'll put some of your equity that comes out of that home into your next home, and then a reverse mortgage can make up the difference, and you never have a mortgage payment and you live where you want to. And I think that is an option. I've had other clients look in to do that because they didn't have the money to from selling one house to fully buy the next, but they did a combo where they put in some equity and then the reverse mortgage makes up the difference. So the only thing you're expecting to pay going forward is insurance and taxes. We always have to pay those. We don't want water coming up into the house and ruining everything or coming through the roof from a storm and fire, whatever.
Yeah.
And, of course, the tax man's going to get his money. You got to make sure he gets paid. But that's where, you know, I'd probably have you talk with Dwayne Stein's office, and the person he has there is Sue. That's a certified reverse mortgage expert.
So I can do that with not have to sell my house first and then go looking for another house?
You're probably going to need to sell that house, get it for sale. Probably this isn't. Look, we have the super team of Total Wealth Authority. So we've got Tracy and Stephanie that own 12 NOLA Realty. You could use them to get the house sell and to be looking, or they'll help you. This is what you need to get this house ready to sell. In the meantime, let's start looking for that next house so we can coincide this, and you get the mortgage people involved to help get this kind of prepackaged. Okay, this is what we're going to need to do, and this is what you can look for, and this is how the deal's going to look. So you can use a few of our team members to kind of get this working together, coordinated to make this happen for you.
So don't plunk down my liquid $80,000.
How much money do you – you've got $80,000 liquid. How much other retirement assets do you have?
That's it.
We want to avoid doing that. So that's where I can be involved as well to help you with that, to get a second opinion. Well, this is what they're showing. This is tell. What do you think, Gregory? I'll get involved and give you an opinion as well on my take on it. And I think you need to look at a reverse mortgage purchase. Sounds like something that should at least be looked at before you go throw a bunch of money into this. You may need that money later. It's my concern.
I hope so. Hope to live a good long life. I'm headed right now to Summerall, Mississippi, so I'm a Mississippi girl. You know, we are a tough breed. So
you're not going to bet you're from Mississippi. Why didn't you get all excited when she said that, Gregory?
Oh, yeah, Gregory.
Oh.
You're supposed to cheer for the home team.
Oh, I love all my friends and listeners from Mississippi as well. I grew up there, and you know, that accent might come out just a little bit here and there.
You have an accent?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I kind of do. That's where somebody that doesn't know me by face, which is now rare, I get recognized as much. But early days of doing this show became pretty well known, but I'd be sitting by somebody at a restaurant and I'd be talking, and then somebody look, are you Gregory? They just know it by the voice. So it's unique, yeah. And I guess it helps in what I do.
Yeah, well, I've been in New Orleans 40 years, and I still haven't lost that twang. So, but, hey, it's who we are. So.
Yeah, it's all good.
That's who we are.
Yeah, just remember reverse purchase, Billy. Reverse.
And if you need some, and if you need some help connecting with these team members, you call my office, and
will.
We will get you all connected. That office number again for during the week help is 504-832-9200.
Okay. Y'all have a wonderful afternoon.
You too. Good to hear from you again, Billy. All right.
That was a great call, great question, and ties in a number of things that we do. And real opportunity, had a client a few years ago that did the same thing, wanted to move from the West Bank to North Shore to be close to family, and they did a reverse purchase, and they actually bought a new home with no payments.
Yeah, and that was, when did we talk to her? 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago? We've talked to Billy before. It's always good to keep up with some of these people. All right, Gregory, back in 2012, The Observer, a British newspaper, ran a contest. Three separate groups of participants invested an imaginary 5,000 British pounds, which is about 6,000 in American dollars, when this experiment took place. Not quite the same situation today, but currency valuations aside, they had some stock pickers. Guys that are literally stock pickers for a living were the first group. They're professional money managers. They even named the three guys they used. A group of school children from John Warner School in Hoddesdon, England, and then a domestic cat house cat named Orlando. So the pickers picked their stocks. The children tried to do what they did and pick the stocks as well. For the cat, though, what they did with the cat, in order for him to pick the stocks, they made a big grid with numbers on it, and each stock was assigned a number. And wherever he would throw his little toy, he has a little favorite toy mouse, whatever number that landed on, that was the stock that was bought in the cat's name. Hang on now. Who do you think won?
Give me the choices. Oh, I think it was the kids.
Okay. You think it was the kids?
Well, being you bring this up, the stock pickers, the professionals.
Kids got last place. Kids had
it. Okay, then the professional, which should have won, got it right.
Okay.
You're not going to tell me a darn cat throwing a toy at a grid wins.
At the end of the year, the kids were down 3.2%. The stock pickers were up 3.5%. The cat was up 10.8%.
Oh, my God.
The cat didn't just beat him. He destroyed them.
Okay, I'm shifting my business over to the cat.
Hey, I've got a cat. We can use Iggy. Maybe we'll just try the Iggy fund, see what happens there. You can have your different managed pools. This is one risk class. This is the cat class. This is the conservative group. Orlando won 10.8%.
Well, we have to have clear, full disclosure, so they're going to know the cat is doing the stock picking.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Because I got a name, and to you it ain't pretty little thing. Hi, your baby, it's driving me red, 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 and crazy. Being the girl in the country song. How in the world did it go so wrong? I got what good for is looking good for you and your friends on the weekend. Nothing more.
Some more red, red, red. I like it when they help us on the market on the daily wrap of when we kind of cover what the market do for the day.
They have a perfect record.
Yeah, they get it right every time. Hey, and then we don't need them for the day, but it's good listening to them. They're on tour and they check in with us on occasion. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks and James Parker. Gosh, we're getting more messages. People have just cranked it up on down. We've got a couple of downloads during the show of the Gregory Ricks app and messages. And then people are calling the office and leaving messages, so they forward those to me as well. And somebody's got a question regarding the funds in his account. How can he withdraw them and call back as soon as possible? So don't know. It's not a client, but they're just, how do I get to my money? Let's see. We had Tony, which was a caller on our show a few weeks back, needed some help, and we've been working with her, and she had a great time at the Halloween Spirit and Spirit event, and she liked our outfits, James.
So, of course she did, because we looked damn good in them. That's why.
And they were a write-off. Let's see. We've got another message here. Well, Steve, he had already commented earlier in on the Cobra regarding Angie, and he just sent us some love there saying, great show today, guys. Let's see. You have a question from
Tommy.
Facebook Live.
Yeah, on Facebook Live, Tommy asks, Gregory, is there any type of attorney-client privilege with financial advice?
Yeah, we can't. I generically will share a story, but it's not going to have names or accuracy to that. So it just, I cannot mention names. So that's where I can't talk to another client about a previous client. And that's where somebody will come in and, for example, say, well, you know, I know Joe and Jane, and they had told me to come and see you. Are they clients? So if they were to ask me that, I would say, I appreciate that information about them recommending you come in, but I can't really say they are or aren't clients. And somebody might come in and say, well, they like your balanced income plan, or they like that fixed annuity that has an opt-out. And I can't talk about what they have or anything. So it is full privacy is the rules that we operate under. Now, the clients can talk to each other. And then if I am going to speak, then I'm kind of needing some written paperwork to have a discussion. That's where if somebody, well, I want you to give everything, all my information to help my taxes get done. Well, we're needing some document saying I can tell your accountant that, or your attorney or whatever. We're needing documentation to where we can talk to somebody about that.
So it has similar legal protections to the law profession or the medical profession?
Yeah, we get in trouble for providing information to somebody else that we weren't supposed to. So that's a given. It's not just open and talk about people. And, you know, it can't be going on Facebook, or staff members can't go home talking about, would you believe who came in today? Oh, that's all a big no-no. We don't do it. Just like attorneys can't go talking about cases, we can't go talking about somebody's money or what we did for them. So that's why the names are completely changed, ages and amounts are varied if I'm telling a client story. What we want is the problem to come out to help other people, and how is that problem solved is really where we're getting the ideas from regarding the stories we share.
So yes, Tommy, your information is safe with us. So if you're secretly Batman, we're not going to tell anybody.
No one would know if you're a superhero.
All right, before we do the
except
annuity,
like Jude becoming one, we kind of celebrated that a little bit today.
Yeah, let me say more good things about Jude while we're at it. I got a few thousand reasons to do it. Anything else in the inbox before we do the annuity lesson for the day?
It looks like we caught up. Just been a lot of activity. There's people that are wanting us to call them on Monday to follow back up. I've got another that went to the website with questions, and he's basically saying, hey, I've got a pretty complicated situation, probably can't cover on the air, so give me a call and let's talk. So we've got that as well.
All right, annuities. What am I learning about them today?
Well, you know, just like I talked about on the Daily Wrap the other day, is somebody had came in and basically they have money in annuities and was wanting more, you know, so when they kind of move into that arena and like it and see that there is risk avoidance there and it can make money, some of it can be pension like or treated as bond like. And there was a situation the other day that I spoke about that where somebody came in and about 60% of their assets were already in annuities, and I just recommended they don't do any more. And actually we would have difficulty getting it through compliance to put any more there. So it was just a real talk about that. But one of the biggest problems with fixed annuity, what's the big negative? Because when filling out a suitability sheet, they'll ask, what's the biggest drawback for the client putting money in this financial tool? And it's an easy answer. It's called a surrender period. They all have them in some form or fashion. I like them to be 10 years or less. You know, it's kind of like the bond thing. I don't want a bond going out 20 or 30 years.
70, because, Austria.
Yeah, and we talk that you have that duration risk for, you know, because the swings, if interest rates move, you're being, imagine the impact on a 70-year bond. Well, I like surrender periods to be 10 years or less, which means that's all a reasonable time expectation. I don't want an annuity with a surrender period, 12, 14, 18 years. Like, why would you do that? But also what I like is a workaround on the surrender period. There's a company we utilize. There's actually two that I like that you have an opt-out, which means it's a return of premium. For the most part, it's any time after you go into the contract, you could just opt out and say, hey, I want to do this with my money, and you bypass the surrender period. Still has a surrender period because in the back end, say, of the 10-year surrender period, paying the surrender fee might be a better option because you're walking away with most of your gains. Early on, if you're seeing you're needing to reassign that money from that no-risk tool, say you're wanting to go back to risk, you don't have to pay that exit cost. You can just say, hey, there's not enough gain here. I'll just take my original investment and move it elsewhere. So what kind of deal is that? It's pretty cool. It also gives, say, somebody wanting to do, instead of the pension, take a lump sum option, and then, but they're still looking for safe money, someplace to put it, and a fixed indexed annuity can be that. So one of these couple of ones that I'm referring to, and I'm not going to get into them on the air and exactly how they work, but it's a 10-year surrender period with a return of premium, meaning you can opt out. There's a bonus and a lot of index choices. So where people don't want to stay in the pension, they're saying, I want to do the lump sum. Well, they're also wanting control of assets. And this gives you total control. If you're using a financial tool that works this way, it gives you the underlying control. You can have an income rider that it grows, say, at 6% or so over a period of time, then turn on the pension-like income, but you've not lost it. And if you went that route and changed your mind, you could still opt out. It's a great choice. So don't think that, oh, I don't like annuity because I can't get my money out or I have to pay a fee. There's workarounds on that. There are other options, and we utilize that tool a lot because what do I like? My money on demand. I like liquidity.
In the 6 years we've been doing this show, there's been a 100% pattern followed. Once people move from risk to safety, we never see them moving back. Is that still in play here after 6.5 years almost of this show?
Repeat that.
People that when they move from risk to this fixed world, there's a reason why someone has 60% of their assets in fixed and they want more. They just never go back.
Yeah, they don't go back. I'm not saying, I want more risk. I want the chance. When they're going to fix the news, they want safety. They want that principle to stay intact. That's why they use them.
The old saying, once you go fixed, you never
go back.
Isn't that what it is?
Yeah. That's it.
All right. Thank you very much for tuning into the show today. A couple things you need to remember. We have a weekday version of this. If you're new, we are on every weekday from 7 to 8 to give you a daily wrap version. We're here at Saturdays from 10 to 1 to give you a weekly wrap. In the meantime, your home away from the show is GregoryRicks.com and the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, where you can always find us on the stream and listen to podcasts of previous shows. Coming up next, Dwayne Stein with Mortgage Gumbo. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent.